All right. We are live. Hello, nerds. Assuming you can hear me. Yes, microphone says it's active, so you should be good. Oh, glorious. All right. So, no technical issues to speak of necessarily. Just was trying to get all of my ducks in a row and then also get a little bit of food in my belly before we got to this. So, it's going to be a little bit of a different stream. Normally, we stream a live news show. We'll probably touch on some news today, but really we're just going to be talking about 2025 and all of the things to be expected. I have a little book of notes, the thoughts that have entered my brain about where we're going for the year 2025. Oh, also, well, too late now, huh? I was going to try and do a thing. Actually, I might still be able to set it up. So, if I can find the bits that I need... Finally, for once, no technical difficulties. This is true, sir. Everything went as swimmingly as could be expected. It helps that I have been set up trying to get to record reaction videos for the last week and a half. I have recorded two reaction videos in that time, which normally I would do two a day minimum. But it did not work out that way. However, it did help in the stream. The second of those two reaction videos will very likely be going up later this week. And then I am hopeful that I will also be getting enough time to finally do a batch of proper reaction videos so that I can stop being set up for no reason. Like I have two setups. The one that I do the regular news show on is in a little studio area we have in the house, and that's kind of just always there to a certain degree. But my live setup is in the middle of my living room, and so it's a little bit awkward because it's the same setup for the reaction videos. It's a little bit awkward for it to be just up all the time because it takes up a little bit too much room to be manageable. So once I get this batch of reactions done, it will not be all over the living room. What was I looking for? Oh, yeah, I was looking for these things. If I can find them, section cards. Is that the button? That's the button. Let's see if we can do this. All right. So if we add a source, and it's a media source, and we say, what are we going to start with? Well, let's start with, music is fairly short, so let's start with music. Music expectations for the year 2025. I feel kind of like Conan O'Brien back in the 90s. In the year 2000. Do not want it to loop. Browse, we're going to this folder, and then this folder, and then this folder, and that. And it says, I mean, that hopefully did the trick. Yay! Huzzah, it worked. All right, so music. We have music predictions for the upcoming year. The first one I stole from Nick Nocturnal is actually kind of, he was the genesis for the idea of doing this to a certain degree. Him and a number of other YouTubers that I watch regularly, but let's get over to the other screen. Make sure we're in the right spot. Music, that's not the one. Well, we'll talk about that, but it's a music-related thing. We'll keep it on the screen. So, music... We have the first one, like I said, I stole from Nick Nocturnal, is a collaboration. The Poppy and Knocked Loose collaboration happened last year, and it did super well for both of those acts. It would seem that that is going to be a little bit of a trend. I think Poppy's a bit of a unique situation in that she was already kind of leaning into the metal community as it is. So the Nick Nocturnal prediction, and I think it would be really cool to happen. I don't know how likely it is, but Billie Eilish doing a metal collaboration with some band. Definitely not going to be Knocked Loose. Though, they did, like I say, have some success with their Poppy collaboration, so it wouldn't be out of the question. I just think it'll be somebody else, Sleep Token or somebody like that. So that's the first. That's our first tick. The next one, like I said, this is we only have a couple in music for some reason. I we can talk for days and days about music, but I don't have that many predictions for the year of 2025 in the music community. I mean, obviously, we're getting a bunch of new releases, and we already know about those. Actually, the one that's on screen right now, Killswitch Engage, this is tours for their upcoming record that will be out. Where is it? New album. It doesn't say. It should say. What the hell's wrong with you, Metal Injection? You're supposed to be the best. Either way, they have a new record coming out this year. I forget exactly what it's called. Let's just click their name and see where it takes us. Killswitch Engage, Joel Streutzel, latest. Drops live video for Us Against the World. No, I don't want music videos. I want latest. That's latest reviews, latest news. That's what we want. Follow up to Atonement. And then Jesse being artsy with a camera. Whatever. Either way, we know that Killswitch Engage putting out a new record. As I Lay Dying. Oh, good Lord. All That Remains. Wow, that took me way too long. Philip Labonte and his band All That Remains are going to be putting out their new record this year very, very soon. Going to be a lot of that stuff. But predictions as far as that goes is Rammstein. I have the strong sense that this is going to be the year that we're finally going to get the next Rammstein record. If you remember, we talked previously, we actually, I think, did a quickie reaction to their song Goodbye, and it was a solo song. They just put that out by itself, and the fans speculated that they were retiring from music, and they came out and said, no, this is a different kind of goodbye. It's a goodbye to who we were, and it's looking towards the future, and it's blah, blah, blah. So that's pretty cool, but it's just a single song, and that was a year and a half ago. It was over a year ago for sure, because it was 2023 that it came out. So will we see a full record from Rammstein this year? I really, really think we will. By the end of the year, if we don't have at least an announcement, I'm going to be super bummed about that. But then back over to Knocked Loose kind of tangentially related things. This is our only other prediction for music for this year, and that is there is going to be somebody heavier than Knocked Loose that gets played on broadcast television that is going to cause an uproar, much in the same way that Knocked Loose did. Because if Knocked Loose can cause that much of a stink, they are a fairly heavy band, but not exactly like death metal. Definitely not deathcore. They're pretty much in the hardcore vein of things. So if we can get... Man, wouldn't it be great... Lorna Shore's profile is probably higher than Slaughter to Prevail as far as normies go. I can't imagine we're going to get somebody that heavy, but very likely we're going to be seeing some new Slipknot music this year, so it wouldn't surprise me that we would get Slipknot on Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon, something like that. They have done late night television before. They were on Conan O'Brien a number of times. They've also been on Jimmy Kimmel. So I think it'll be somebody more akin to that. Maybe even Sleep Token. I think Sleep Token's profile overall is pretty huge right now as far as like popular music culture goes. And they're a little bit safer than other metal, but also they wear masks and paint their bodies and stuff. So visually they are quite shocking, if you will. So yeah, I think if I had to put money on any one single band, it would be Sleep Token will be the band that does it, and it will be a bigger hullabaloo than we got with Knocked Loose. And that is what we have for music predictions. Let's change back here, and then we're going to do the thing again. Add media source. This one, where are we going next? What should we do? Should we do TV shows? Let's do TV, and then we'll do gaming, and then we'll do movies last. How about that? I feel like I'm forgetting. Oh, comics. I'm not doing any predictions for comic books. So, next up, we're going to do the TV sources. Browse. Where is the TV card? Right there. TV card. TV card says... Yay! Okay, so it's not news, whatever. We have a pretty decent list for TV. I have it under movies, some of them anyway. Oh, that's not going to be easy to sort out. This is what happens when I'm not paying attention to... There it is. Okay, there's most of it anyway. Okay, so let's start with the Green Lantern show. Last of Us Season 2 trailer. Ooh! Man, if we weren't only broadcasting on YouTube, I would totally go do a reaction to that before we signed off tonight. But we could do it live. However, YouTube is not a fan of doing that kind of stuff live. They're barely a fan of letting you do that stuff pre-recorded and uploading and letting it sit for a week because their content aware system is hot garbage still. And it's 2025. It is getting better. I did notice with the previous upload, the Shadows Fall reaction video, it was much less of a headache to get that one up. So I can't promise I'm going to do a proper reaction to The Last of Us just because I want the last batch of reactions to be music, since I am the most well-versed in that kind of stuff. Like, I like cinematography and things like that, and I like to make movies, make videos and that kind of stuff, but I'm definitely not as much of an expert when it comes to video as I am when it comes to music, because I've been doing music since I was like 5. So, all right, so we're in TV. Let's go pull up something more appropriate on here. Our first thing, oh yeah, the Green Lantern. All right, so let's see what Cosmic Book has. Actually, it's going to be called Lanterns, right? So what if we do that? Lanterns, the HBO Max Green Lantern show starring, I'm going to forget all of the names, so please go faster, Cosmic Book News. here we go. Aaron Pierre and... We're going to pull up their names. Aaron Pierre. Why can't I think of this dude's name? I'll get it, baby. Don't worry about it. Kyle Chandler. Goodness. Brain farts all around. So Aaron Pierre, Kyle Chandler. Lanterns show is going to be coming out fairly soon, if I'm remembering correctly. Is that correct? Of course it's not going to show us. All right. But yeah, fairly soon. It will be out this year at the very least. I am really thinking that this is going to be slightly above expectations. I know there's a lot of weight that people are putting on Superman because it's going to be the first live action thing in the DCU proper. And that's coming out this year as well. We'll talk about that when we get to movies. So that's got a lot of the attention. I think the Lanterns show is going to have low expectations because DC has not had a very good run with much of anything, honestly, outside of like Spider-Man, specific Spider-Man, not Spider-Man related, but very specifically Spider-Man stuff, and their collaborations, which are Spider-Man, with the MCU. So outside of that, DC hasn't really had great track record with much of anything since, I mean, Smallville was fantastic. Well, fantastic might be a little bit strong, but Smallville was good. And then Gotham kind of shit the bed. We got The Flash was good for about the first five or six seasons, and then it kind of shit the bed. Green Arrow also was pretty good. I mean, I didn't really watch a whole lot of Green Arrow. I watched more Flash, but people loved it. So I think that the new management at DC, being James Gunn, is going to set the bar fairly high with Superman, and Lanterns is just barely going to meet that. That's my prediction. It will be good, but it's not going to blow anyone away. It will just be solid enough to say, all right, we've justified our existence here. So I think that is actually the only DC-related thing that we're talking about for this. Most of the rest of this is going to be Marvel and no horror movie stuff. We kind of talked about the horror movie stuff in the big trailer, the movie trailer reaction video, because that's all of the things, right? So, there's a new trailer for the Valentine's horror movie. Yeah, so if I did, that's fair. There's not a whole lot in, like I said, in the DC catalog that is really worth diving into. Smallville is good. Smallville is legitimately good. Just know that it is geared towards a CW audience, meaning it is geared towards somebody that's more female and teenage. generally speaking, that was the CW audience, and Smallville definitely was geared towards that. Flash as well, Green Arrow as well. I think Smallville was the most teenage drama oriented. Also, arguably the best of the bunch, which is weird. But Flash was a little bit more grown up, and Green Arrow was a fair bit more grown up than Smallville. But all three of those shows are worth watching. Anything else in the DC oeuvre? Maybe Titans is worth a watch. I would say that kind of trepidatiously. But yeah, as far as any of that goes, that is how low the bar is. So Lanterns is going to do well. But the Valentine's horror, the one with the heart eyes mask, is that what you're talking about? Valentine's horror movie? Because I thought they already dropped a full-length trailer for that, because we reacted to that, I believe. We did a quickie reaction in, like, the last proper news show. So, yeah, let me know. And we're not to movies yet, so we'll get there. But next up on the list of predictions for 2025 is X-Men 97 Season 2, I think, is going to be a giant disappointment. I think that they kind of already set up how garbage it's going to be. Maybe the trailer that we talked about previously was just the teaser trailer, now that I think about it. So yeah, that's really cool. That one I might actually do a video for, but we'll get there. X-Men 97 is going to suck. Okay, that's, again, a little bit strong. I think it is going to be a disappointment. Not a strong disappointment. I think there's going to be certain redeeming elements of the X-Men 97 Season 2. But I think overall, because it's kind of on a downward trend as of the end of Season 1, even though fans, by and large, loved it, they didn't put up a very big stink about it, and it got really bad ratings when it came to, like, the Nielsen SoundScan stuff. So yeah, I think X-Men 97 Season 2 is going to disappoint people. Stargirl was okay. I watched about half of Season 1, and I didn't hate it. The only reason I really didn't finish it was because other more interesting things were released. So, like, Stargirl was all right. If you dug Stargirl, I really think you'll have an appreciation for The Flash. It's very, again, very melodramatic. I cannot understate the melodrama, but it's comic books, and it definitely has a almost a like 60s comic book feel to the writing in the melodrama. So know that, but Smallville is this really interesting amalgamation of that kind of Flash writing, and then also... Oh, no. Oh, yeah, that's right. The Stargirl show is what you're talking about, right? You might have to either source a physical copy, source a digital copy, but I'm not going to advocate for piracy, har, 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 matey. Or I don't know where the series is streaming, honestly, but it's worth it to look it up. Anyway, so we're moving on from X-Men 97, going to be a mild disappointment. Skeleton Crew is the next on the list of TV predictions. Skeleton Crew is technically not done with season one yet. We have not yet heard about season two. Season two is going to be announced. I fully believe we will get a second season for Skeleton Crew. Let's pull up Skeleton Crew so that, you know, things make sense. Actually, let's do this. We'll just pull up straight up images, shall we? Images. Skeleton Crew. Sha! Where's open image in new window? Image, open image in new tab. There we go. Skeleton Crew. So Skeleton Crew, I think, is going to get a second season. Again, it's not doing super, super great, but... I think that's where it went downhill, in my opinion. Yeah, that's kind of what I heard from people who were watching it. So Skeleton Crew is going to finish season one. Probably, I would say, late spring, early summer will be the latest that we get the official word. But I think we will get official word that there will be a second season of Skeleton Crew. It is doing moderately well. It's not doing great by any stretch, but it's doing better than kind of they were the fandom was expecting. So I think we'll get a second season. Beyond a second season with Skeleton Crew, I will be fairly surprised if we get anything more than a third season. And if we get a third season, that's very, very much going to depend on whether or not the second season does all right. I think they'll have to pick up the quality in the second season in order to get a third season, from what I've heard. I haven't watched it yet. I really want to, though, because I legitimately was intrigued by the trailer. It's just I don't have Disney Plus proper, so I have to find other means to get to watch those episodes. So next for TV, kind of ties into movie stuff, so maybe we'll skip that one until we get to movies. But we have Ahsoka Season 2 is coming out this year. Also going to be fairly mid, like the first season was. First season got away with it because they had Admiral Thrawn. And also got away with setting up a second season for Ahsoka because they left it on a cliffhanger. And Disney... Star Wars, Lucasfilm, Disney. Yeah, I think Skeleton Crew is definitely going to be at least a fun watch, even if there's no depth to it. But Ahsoka Season 2, I don't think they're going to be able to pull it. I think Dave Filoni does fantastic work most of the time. I think that Ahsoka Season 1 was an example of him doing all right, but not as well as expected. And I don't know if he'll be able to pull it out in a second season. I do, though, think they're going to... Yeah, not a lot of people have been into Star Wars recently, actually, because there's not a lot to be into for Star Wars. You had season 3 of Mandalorian kind of crash and burn hard. You had, I think the last thing that people universally, well, largely, I guess, got behind was Andor, and we're going to get to Andor. But Andor season one was kind of the last thing that the fandom really got behind. Obi-Wan was mediocre at best, and there were only moments of mediocrity. Everything else through that, like, broke lore, didn't follow existing rules in the universe that they have already set up, didn't follow existing rules in the show that they had already set up. So just that one was just a bit of a hot mess. What else am I forgetting? Star Wars show-wise. Boba Fett was a disappointment as well. I dug Boba Fett. I think I'm one of 10 people who actually enjoyed the show. But also, I don't mind dialogue-driven stuff. I think that, I mean, I'm a big fan of Kevin Smith's work for a reason. His is 98% dialogue-driven, right? So, yeah, if that's the last thing you watched, you're going to need to watch something else to wash that taste out of your mouth, because Obi-Wan was not great. It was, like I said, it was mediocre from time to time. So, yeah, Ahsoka Season 2 is going to be bland. It's going just more of the same. I can't imagine there's going to be anything major that they do with Thrawn in that show. I think if they're going to do something major with Admiral Thrawn, it's going to happen in a movie. I also think, and Josh from Nerdvengers, what is it? Den of Nerds. Josh from Den of Nerds made the point that very likely the Ahsoka season 2 timeline-wise will happen about the same time as the Mandalorian and Grogu show. I think that's accurate. So anything that crazy that's going to happen with Thrawn very likely will happen in the Mandalorian Grogu movie. I can't see them throwing something that epic into a TV show. I think that the TV show is just going to be set up for the movie, and people are going to be fairly mildly disappointed by that as well. So Ahsoka season 2, that's that. Next we have, speaking of Andor, I think this is the only gem on the horizon as it stands with Star Wars right now. I think Andor season 2 is going to be a bigger payoff to the fan base than anticipated. I think it's legitimately going to be successful, because they got all of the setup out in season one. We know where it's going to end because Rogue One. I almost called it Rebel One, but I was like, nope, that's not right. Rogue One happened. We already know how it ends because that's what Rogue One is. So Rogue One is our conclusion. We just have a lot of anticipation to get through. All of the setup for the build happened in season one. So I think the people who complained about season one being too slow will be happy with season two, because it will all pay off in season two. So, yeah, I think Andor is going to be the only great thing in the Star Wars universe in the year 2025. Staying with Star Wars, the Mandalorian and Grogu movie. I don't know that it has a title yet. I think everybody's just calling it that. Mandalorian Grogu is also going to be disappointing. It really bums me to say this, because season one and season two of Mandalorian were amazing. Let's pull up Mandalorian. I haven't changed the image since Skeleton Crew. Oh, no. Season one and season two of Mandalorian were fantastic. Were some of the best Star Wars, let alone television, some of the best Star Wars we've gotten in a long time. So I can't though in good conscience. Oh yeah, that's right. Jeremy Allen White's going to be the voice of Jabba the Hutt's son. Let's pull this image up. Yeah. Yeah, so as much as I loved season one, season two, season three started okay and then kind of meandered and had a very anticlimactic conclusion. And so season four, aka the movie, is just going to be more of that. It's going to be underwhelming. And I mean, I'll probably dig it to a certain degree, but that's just because I'm already hooked in that universe. A, I love Star Wars. B, the first two seasons were enough to just anything that comes out, I'm probably going to engage with it. So, but I think overall it is going to be a fairly mild letdown. all right, so from there, out of Star Wars, out of Disney even, we're going to Fallout Season 2. I think this also is going to do super, super well. If you have not seen the first season of the Fallout show over on Prime, you should watch it. If you are a fan of the Fallout franchise, there are some continuity issues with the rest of the franchise, but I really feel like there's nothing that can't be explained away. We just don't have the full context or all of the information required for it. I think that we will get a lot more of that context in season two. I think season two is going to be one of the biggest premieres for a TV show on Amazon. I think that is because of the success of season one, and also due at least in some small part to the fact that they cast Macaulay Culkin in season two. I think that he is a highly underappreciated actor, and if you watched the season of American Horror Story that he was in, you will see that as an adult, that man definitely knows how to act. I don't think he's as talented as his little brother. I think Kieran Culkin is probably the best actor in that family because their younger brother is even an actor. He's in the Lords of Chaos movie. He plays Eronymous, I think. One of the dudes from that band. Anyway, from Mayhem. And he's fine. I think that Kieran Culkin is one of the greatest actors of our generation. And I think that his big brother Macaulay is an under-accredited actor. That's maybe too verbose. Is underappreciated as an actor. I think because of his success as a child star, people just pigeonhole him into being Kevin McAllister for the rest of his life because it was a huge role for him. And I don't think that people fully got to appreciate his ability as an actor. He's done small movies and stuff in recent years. And I think that something this high profile, because American Horror Story kind of got him back out there into the more popular conversation, the pop culture conversation. He's became relevant again because of that. Because again, he's still acting. He's still doing the movies here and there, and he has a podcast and stuff. So like, it's not that he ever fully went away, but I think that his acting ability is going to surprise people who didn't see him in American Horror Story, because I really think that he was one of the only reasons why that season of American Horror Story worked as well as it did, is because his performance was that damn good. I think that's all I got for Fallout 2. Fallout 2 is going to be fantastic, and Macaulay Culkin is going to blow people away. The rest of these are movies, so let's... We're not going to do movies. We're saving movies for the end. The gaming and tech is what we're going to go into next. So let's change screens one more time. Fancy cam. Oh, it's so fancy. And then we add a thing. Where is it? Source media. Tech. Find. Game, there we go. Gaming and tech. And the gaming and tech card looks like this. Alright, so gaming and tech. I think this might be the meat and potatoes of the stream as far as the predictions go. We're going to start off in tech because there's a fair bit of AI stuff that I think that I want to address for predictions, because AI is going to be everywhere. Honestly, and we could have talked about this in movies. I think we'll talk about it here. It's all of entertainment. It's not just going to be gaming and tech that AI affects, obviously. It is going to be the movie industry. It is going to be the television industry. It's going to be basically every industry that is affected by AI in 2025. Much more specifically, these are my predictions for AI in movies. First off, and we're already seeing this one, the movie industry as a whole is going to downsize greatly. I think if we can just kind of put a label on the year 2025 as a whole, not just in pop culture, not just in entertainment, but politically and you know, just kind of how things are going to be run with the new management coming in and whatnot, I think that the title that you could put on the year 2025 as a whole will be the year of downsizing, because it sounds like that's probably going to be happening a fair bit in the U.S. government as well. But that is not the kind of content we cover here on this channel. However, we will talk about the political aspects of the movie industry and the effects that AI is going to have on movies and television, because we're already seeing a lot of people losing their jobs in that industry, in those industries, because of AI. The strikes, while they did get contract renegotiations done from the side of actors and the producers and things involved, we got new contracts for the actors, but nowhere in those contracts did it say, and for all of, I think it wasn't just actors, it was writers. I don't know that there was a crew issue last year or the year before, whenever all those strikes were happening. I can't remember off the top of my head. But all of those strikes that got those contract renegotiations with everybody, there was one in the gaming industry as well, that said that actors would not be replaced by AI and writers would not be replaced by AI. It seems like, and again, we're already seeing this happen, it seems like they're finding clever ways to skirt that based on the language that they used, very likely, in the contracts. Because when the strikes were no longer happening and everyone was supposed to go back to work, there was no guarantee of who was going to get to go back to work. Because now Hollywood has the go-ahead, effectively, to downsize. They don't need as many people. So it's not that anyone's being directly replaced by AI. It's that this job no longer exists because it can be covered by two other, or, you know, this one job can be absorbed into this other job because this person utilizes certain aspects of AI so that they can do the work of two or three people. And really, the only people that are absolutely needed are the ones on screen. And even that's going to go to the way of the buffalo to a certain degree. So that's the first one, is that major, major downsizing as far as the behind the scenes go in television and movies. Even gaming, even scripting and AI programming and stuff is going to very much be a big effect on the gaming industry. Next on the predictions for AI, this one's actually kind of cool, and it plays into it's two in one, we'll call it. But we're going to get a lot more granular control over AI generators. What do I mean by that? So actually, let's go back to this one. I actually have a thing pulled up for this. See, I did do a little bit of setup. So, as we're looking at, make sure everything is visible. Yes. All right. So this is Udio. This is the backside of Udio. I don't know how familiar you may or may not be with Udio, but this is Udio. And right now, as it sits, this is all of the control you have with Udio. And this is honestly a fair amount more control than you get with Suno, which is the other one. Oh, hey, that's that a little bit more. So what do I mean by more granular control? Well, as it stands right now, you can write a description of your song. You can give a general idea of the song's content. You can write your own lyrics and do certain controls inside of the lyrics, like this is the chorus, this is the bridge, this is the verse, etc., etc. You can even do a little bit of dynamic control in this lyric editor, in that you can tell it to do a bass drop, you can tell it to do a cappella. There are certain dynamics that you can add to Udio that you can also add to Suno and I even have Suno pulled up as well. It's just not as illustrative in the Suno interface until you actually start typing. So you can do all that. And then in here, you can tell it where you want the lyrics to come inside of the clip that it's about to generate. You can tell it how long of a clip to generate. You can give it a style, and that's kind of questionable, you know, how the style adherence can be a little iffy at times. Granular strength is controls, rather, as it pertains to the strength of the prompt, which is the lyrics and the description. The description, and then lyrics has its own strength. And then clarity is clarity of like the instruments and the voice and stuff. And then that's about all of the actual musical control you have right now. I have seen things from people who have who've been using, where did it go? Suno for some time. Suno version 4 is out for paid users. It's not technically out for free users, which I am. You can experiment with it for up to 10 songs in version 4 for free. But even so, there's a couple of upgrades that they're saying that they're adding to Suno that will most definitely, some variation will be in Udio as well, where you'll be able to have more dynamic control. I think over the course of the next year, we'll very likely see two new iterations for both of these big audio generators. I don't think we'll see another proper contender. I just think that at this point, Udio and Suno just have that market fairly well cornered. I mean, 11 Labs project that we talked about months and months ago, very possibly could be a contender if they release it this year. Very likely they will release it this year, but I don't know the likelihood that it will actually be a contender when it comes to these two guys, because like I said, we're going to get two more iterations of Udio and Suno. They are going to give us some form of control in that we will be able to do maybe like tell it what time signature we want the song to be in or the clip to be in. Possibly something along the lines of what key we want the song to be in overall. Something to that effect. It will get a little bit better when it comes to music theory and understanding those kind of requests and controls. So I think music is going to be much more interesting. And also video, same thing. We're going to get a little bit more granular control. There's a lot more variables when it comes to video, and I don't have any video stuff pulled up right now, so I don't have anything to really illustrate that with. But when it comes to video, you've got a lot more spatial elements to deal with. You have camera, you have actors, you have all kinds of elements that could theoretically be on screen. So there's a lot of granular control that you could do, but like the realistically, you're just not going to be able to do. So I think we'll see some of that granular control come, because we are, again, we're already kind of getting that. We got camera motions, very rudimentary camera motion with Veo, I think is the one, the Google one, that gives you a little bit of camera control. And Sora, No, actually, I think it was just Sora that has the camera controls. But Kling is playing with different camera things as well, so we'll see some more granular control there. I don't think it's going to be like a massive leap forward as far as the video quality goes when it comes to video AIs. I think we're just going to see a lot more granular control, a lot more fine detail control when it comes to the back end of video AIs. There we go. Next up on AI tech stuff, there will be, I really feel like there will be some sort of new large language model or image generator that is going to be very probably free to some degree, much like most of them are, and is going to have no guardrails and is going to, again, give you a lot more hands-on control, but is going to blow away where we are right now. By the end of the year, you will be able to be much more specific with your AI generations, and much more specific with the kind of conversations you have with an LLM. I think it will be a new AI that comes out that can do those things. Obviously, and this is the last thing for AI stuff, so if you're bored with AI, I'm sorry, but we're getting out of here. So the last thing with AI is agents. This is, if you want to label the year as a whole for AI in general, it's going to be the year of agents. AI agents are kind of a collection of AIs to a certain degree that can do different tasks. So it can interact with you on a verbal level, be it through text or through audio, and then you can ask it to do things and it can figure out how to do those things. Every AI company is working on agents right now, so it's just a matter of whose agent is the most functional as to who wins the cup. But it is going that you are going to hear all year. If you hear anything about AI and AI companies, you're going to hear about the AI agents those companies are creating. It's going to be annoying. I'm warning you now. That's all we're going to talk about for AI. Let's talk about some actual gaming stuff. Get a little bit more interesting, shall we? So gaming, first one off the bat, right off rip. I have to put this out there just because I am who I am and I love the things I love. But Mortal Kombat... we are going to get one of two things, possibly both, but I'm not holding my breath for both. We're going to get one of two things when it comes to NetherRealm. I should be a little bit more specific. It's going to be NetherRealm, not Mortal Kombat. NetherRealm is going to announce one of two things. Either we're going to be getting Mortal Kombat Combat Pack 3 for Mortal Kombat 1. It will all have been rumor, and the reason for them leaking such information was to find who the rumor mongers were that were close enough to the source that they had this information. Those people will have been sacked, and then they will move forward with Combat Pack 3, or the rumors were true, and we get an announcement for what their next game is going to be. I'm not so deluded as to think that we will actually get the next game. I do think, though, that we will get an announcement for the next game if that is the direction they're headed. Nintendo Switch 2, kind of sort of talking about AI again, but we're talking about gaming consoles and AI. Nintendo Switch 2, when it gets announced, is going to... So sorry. Oh, no, I'm fine. It was a dog situation. Dogs were getting a little rowdy, so had to take care of. So we might be hearing barking because it looks like he still might be a little rowdy. Had to separate him. Anyway, sorry about that. Yeah, where were we? Do-do-do-do-do. Notes are a good thing. Talking about... Oh, Nintendo Switch 2. That's right. All right, Nintendo Switch 2 is going to be... Oh, no, we're good. Thank you for your concern. No, we're fine. Nintendo Switch 2 is going to be AI-powered. The AI power in it is very likely going to be limited to upscaling. So native picture size on the Nintendo Switch 2, I think, is going to be probably somewhere in the area of 720. Maybe they'll go up to 1080. And we will be probably natively pushing out about 30 frames a second. With the AI upscale, though, I don't think it's going to go to 4K. I do think very potentially we'll see 1440 image size, so a little bit bigger than 1080. And we will also see 60 FPS via AI processing. It will not be native in the console. Also, the Nintendo Switch 2 is probably going to be the top-selling console of the year. Easy, though, because it's going to be the newest console in the year. I don't think anyone else is going to actually release a console. However, I do think that we will see whatever the hell this handheld device that Microsoft has been working on, I think by year's end, I think it's very, very likely we will see in the winter, so approximately 10 months or so from now, we will see Microsoft reveal, if not reveal the handheld itself, but reveal the concept for the handheld. That we will see that they are in fact working on a handheld device behind the scenes. And yeah, it'll be a very strange time for Microsoft, I think. And then I think the big one here, my big prediction for gaming is, and honestly, I might be a year or maybe even 2 years out from this actually happening, but I do think this is going to happen in the not too distant future. I think we will be seeing esports become more popular. I think that's going to be partially, I don't know how much of a part, but partially due to Twitch finally figuring out what the hell it is they want their business model to be so that they actually can market better and get a lot of their sponsors to come back and a lot of the people who gave them money that made them successful during the pandemic. They'll figure out, all right, so we don't have pandemic numbers to rely on. How are we going to get people interested in our platform again? I think they'll figure it out. I think it's going to be a little while. The earliest it's going to be the end of this year, but they will get it figured out, and then esports is going to become much more popular. I think it might be a little bit of wishful thinking on my part, just because I'm incredibly fascinated by how all of that kind of works behind the scenes. And, like, theoretically, it should be, like, esports should be super popular because everyone under the age of like 50 is at least some sort of active gamer to a certain degree. You might not game 2-4 hours a day, but you probably game a good hour a day on average. That's not saying you game every day, but you don't game today, but you game 2 hours tomorrow, and you don't game day after that, but you game 3 hours on Friday. That kind of stuff is really, really common in this age group. So yeah, I don't fully understand why esports is not more popular. Actually, I have theories for that, but there's something that I think is probably better off for a different video. All right, so this is the point in time where we go talk about Dubby real quick because they are the channel partner. I appreciate the guys over at Dubby. I do enjoy me some caffeinated drinks. Specifically, I'm a bit of an energy drink connoisseur. And Dubby is one of the better ones that I have found. Generally speaking, I'm not a big fan of the energy drinks where you add the powder to water just because it kind of usually comes out chalky. This is definitely not an exception to that rule. So if I don't want to oversell the idea that they're the perfect energy drink, they're good. They're really good as far as flavor goes, but as far as like the chalkiness of the drink, that's just kind of how those kinds of drinks work. But they do have canned. You can get canned Dubby from the website. You go to dubby.gg. You use code GENERALLYNERDY at checkout. You get 10% off. You get 10% off of everything you purchase from Dubby if you use that code. So that's pretty cool. But as far as like who Dubby is and the product that they sell, that I've at least engaged with, because I haven't been able to get my hands on the cans yet, the powdered drinks are legitimately great. I use them at work. By and large, that's why I drink energy drinks, is when I'm at the day job. It helps me focus. I am a person with a certain mental condition known as the ADHD, and stimulants generally help people with ADHD become more focused. A caffeine is a stimulant, and therefore that is why we with the ADHD generally tend to like to drink caffeine drinks, because it helps us focus. It helps our brain function a little bit better. Dubby does not have excessive amounts of caffeine, depending on how you would quantify excessive. But as far as it compares to other like-minded energy drinks, it has a bit less caffeine. You're looking at about 120 milligrams of caffeine per 12 to 16 ounce serving. So it's a little bit on the lower side, but it still functions really well, especially when compared to something like G Fuel, which is another one that I imbibe in from time to time. The Dubby just helps me focus a little bit more, and it's very likely due to the nootropics that they put into their, this is the other chemicals that they have in their drinks. I help you focus. I help you with brain function. Legitimately, I am not a doctor, so don't take my word for any of the health advice stuff. But from my personal experience, I would not be partnered with Dubby if not for the fact that I legitimately think it works. And I really like their flavors, so that's also a good thing. But yeah, that's enough about Dubby. Channel partner, I super appreciate those guys. Let's move into the movies section, shall we? Because I think this is what we've all been waiting for as far as these predictions go. So one more time with the moving pictures. Movies. I'm so proud of these things that I've made. Yes, I've made all of those little clips that play for the section cards. All right, so movie predictions. We've got a bit more Star Wars to talk about, Chris. So let's do that first, I think. That's the button. So movie predictions. Let's start, like I said, let's start with the Star Wars. Where are we going? Kathleen Kennedy. All right. So Kathleen Kennedy, she is supposed to be up on her contract this year. I think she's going to play something behind the scenes, and she's going to stay on for at least one more year. We will not see the end of the reign of tyranny from Kathleen Kennedy until at the earliest 2026. So that is my first prediction for Star Wars. So it's a little bleak, I think. Next, I think because of that, and largely because of a lot of things they already have in motion, but I think the biggest piece is Kathleen Kennedy, because she's the one who put all these things in motion. Because she's not going anywhere this year, I think that Star Wars will continue to flounder. It will just flop around and kind of not really follow through on anything, not do anything great. The announcement of those Rey movies really got the fandom all up in a roar. I think it will flounder, but it won't completely fall apart. And I think that's kind of the biggest thing there, is because if it were to completely fall apart, you would see Disney step in and say, all right, you guys are losing us way too much money. We need to do something. We need to come in and shuffle things about, or something like that. I don't think that's going to happen. I think Lucasfilm is going to be allowed to function as is, because a couple of the things that are happening, like we already talked about, mostly the TV stuff, A couple of those things that are happening will do fairly well. Andor will do really well, I think. But as far as movies go this year, nothing is going to go well for them. So it's going to completely counteract any good faith that they earn through those TV shows. Which is just going to, it's just going to land them right in the center again, and not much is going to happen until Kathleen Kennedy actually leaves, which I think, again, will very likely be sometime later in 2026 or so. And then the rest of the Star Wars stuff actually was already talked about. So let's go, let's talk about some superhero stuff. Let's talk Fantastic Four. Fantastic Four, I think, is the first superhero movie releasing in 2025. Let's go back to this because I do have, where are you? Wow. Ba-ba-da-ba-da-ba, whatever. That's not what I wanted. Fantastic. Oops, I can spell. Fantastic Four movie. Right there. Let's get that one. That's the image we want. Oh, good night. Really? That's the big one? Tools. Come on, Google. Function. Size. Large. There we go. Come on, baby. Let's go. I've got all night. Ha 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 ha. Okay, so Fantastic Four is going to be mid. it's going to set up a lot of really interesting things, but the movie itself is going to be a disappointment. It is the Pedro Pascal, I think, is going to not meet anyone's expectations for what Reed Richards is supposed to be like. I think the rest of the cast might do okay. What's her toes? It's playing Sue Storm. I think she might also be a little bit of an underperforming element of the movie. But as a whole, there will be some really cool ideas that they introduce in this movie. They just will not overall make an above average movie. It will just be kind of meh. Avengers Doomsday will subvert expectations in that it too is going to not be as good as the fan base wants it to be. It will still be good, and also I will say that in its theatrical run, it will get very close to, if not getting over, $1.5 billion. That's a big number. It's a big number. I don't think we've ever actually quite made it there in a theatrical release. So I think we'll get close to it. I don't know if we'll cross it, but I think we'll get close to it. Like 1.3, 1.4. We might not cross 1.5, but I bet we get somewhere in that neighborhood during the theatrical release. Still, again, not going to be as good as the fan base wants it to be. Superman. I think Superman, switching sides now. I think Superman will, again, do better than expectations, but that's only because expectations are so low when it comes to DC properties at this point. I think there is going to be a lot that actual comic book nerds are going to have issue with in this movie, because James Gunn will honor the source material, but only to a point. I think there's going to be a very big stink about something he changes from the comic book lore. But I still think it's going to do well. And I think it will be an appropriate setup for the entire DCU as it goes. Back over to Marvel, but only technically, because this is really Sony. I think Spider-Man 4, we have a couple of Spider-Man 4 predictions. Spider-Man 4 is going to get pushed back. However, because it is happening between Doomsday and Secret Wars, there's a lot of room for it to move around and still come out between those two movies. So I don't think it's going to be pushed beyond Secret Wars. I do, though, think that Spider-Man 4 will get pushed back at some point this year. Also in Spider-Man 4, though I don't think it's actually... Is it set to come out this year? Let's go double check, because I forgot. Google says Spider-Man 4... July of 2026. I think that is going to move probably towards the end of this year is when they'll announce, hey, we have to bump this back. They already have a cast. Oh, good Lord. yeah, so that's going to happen. Oops, that's the wrong window. What other movie predictions? I told you, I got notes. Spider-Man, Superman, Kathleen Kennedy, Star Wars. I think that's all of the predictions there, nerds. I think that's what we got. That is our predictions for the year of 2025. What do you think? What's going on? What's happening? Is there a rumor that has been confirmed recently that maybe I didn't take into consideration? I don't know. Let's have that conversation. Those of you watching in post, the chat is pretty. It's one of the more active chats, I think, in recent memory. So kudos to you there, Mr. Chris. That we are still going to be. Sticking around, I will be stepping away momentarily, but we are going to be playing some Marvel Rivals because I downloaded it for the stream, I believe, two streams ago, and we still have not yet played it. So I'm going to go make sure that that's functioning, and we'll be back in just a minute with a little bit of gameplay action. Those of you who are watching in post, this is where the predictions episode ends. So I thank you very much for joining me. We will see you again next time. Next stream, very likely going to be again next Tuesday. We are getting much closer. New adaptation for one of Stephen King's books. What? All right. We won't sign off yet. What's going on with Stephen King? I remember seeing something. Stephen King movies. Do. Which one? Because I know what you're talking about. 2020 movies publish date newest to oldest. Okay. The Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon doesn't have a release date yet. The Monkey. Oh! I don't think I remember. Yes, I do. I do remember seeing something about that. Oh, shit. I totally forgot that was Stephen King. Yeah. The Monkey. Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon has been in development for some time as well, and that was the one I was thinking of, and I was like, that's not coming out this year. But yeah, it's The Monkey. And then Hearts. I'm not familiar with Hearts. No image available. My girlfriend is reading that book right now, If It Bleeds. So yeah, we have a new Stephen King adaptation. I know I said we were probably going to be touching on news. We kind of did, so I didn't really lie, but, you know, it is what it is. Most of the movie stuff that we talked about for this year was in the big reaction video where I reacted to all those trailers. We had 28 Years Later, which, yo, Chris, did you see my breakdown of 28 Years Later over on the Clips channel? Or maybe you watched the full trailer reaction video? Because I did a bit of an analysis as to my predictions for that movie specifically when it comes out. I think there's going to be a lot of really interesting stuff. I don't want to get into too much detail. Just going to send you over to the Clips channel to watch the analysis if you haven't yet watched it. But I was pretty proud of my breakdown of that one. So if you're interested, go check it out. But 28 years later, we know we're going to get Return of the Living Dead sequel. You know, we're going to, you know, these are all known quantities at this point. And we talked about those kind of in depth in that video. So, again, I think this is where we're going to end the predictions video. now that we're to that point, if you are still lurking in the chat, then we will see you in just a moment. Like I said, I'm going to go set up and make sure that the console is appropriately streaming. And we'll be back in just a couple minutes. For those of you who are signing off at this point, I appreciate your faces. Thank you very much, nerds, for joining me on this predictions escapade. I guess I can make this look a little prettier for those people who are about to sign off. Thank you very much, nerds, for joining me. We will see you in the next one. As far as streams go, we will probably have about 2, maybe 3 more streams and then take another week or so off from any of the news stuff while I get ready for the next season. And then we will likely be up in February, the week following Valentine's Day. So that is our immediate situation. Don't forget to subscribe if you have not already so that you can be made aware when I post new videos. I appreciate that, nerds. We are going to be doing a bit of a push. We expect a merch push this year as it pertains to the pre-recorded videos, because I've been working pretty hard, not just on assets for the show, but also on designing some really cool t-shirts and accessories and things for all of the people who watch these videos. So appreciate you, nerds. Thank you very much. We'll see you in the next one. Before we go, always, always remember that if it's generally nerdy, it's probably here. And otherwise, I'll be right back.